from Washington, this is VOA News. I'm Steve Norman reporting. Hurricane Irma is battering its way at Haiti and Dominican Republic with fierce winds, heavy rain. Forecasters are saying Irma's next target is Cuba and the Bahamas. Mike Brennan is with the U.S. National Hurricane Center. He explains that Irma most likely will hit the U.S. on the southern coast of the state of Florida.
The new track forecast is a little to the left of our previous one and now takes the storm inland over the Florida Peninsula, making landfall as a major hurricane somewhere in the vicinity of South Florida on Sunday. There's still some uncertainty as to where this northward turn will occur, but everyone in South Florida should be preparing for the landfall of a potentially catastrophic major hurricane in the area on Sunday.
Irma does remain a Category 5 storm, 280 kilometer per hour winds. During a press conference, President Trump at the White House was asked if it's inevitable military action will take place against North Korea.
Military action would certainly be an option. Is it inevitable? Nothing's inevitable. It would be great if something else could be worked out. We would have to look at all of the details, all of the facts.
After the president's comments, a senior Trump administration official expressed concern that North Korea cannot be deterred from pursuing its missile and nuclear programs. President Trump told 800,000 young undocumented immigrants in the U.S. that they have nothing to worry about regarding deportation during the next 6 months while Congress works on a plan to allow them to permanently stay in the country. Mr. Trump had rescinded former President Barack Obama's program that allowed the immigrants to study and work in the U.S. and serve in the military. This is VOA News. Two Turkish-American men were involved in a brawl in the Turkish embassy in Washington earlier this year. Well, now they've pleaded not guilty to assault charges. 18 people, many of whom were members of the Turkish ambassador's security detail, were indicted for allegedly attacking protesters outside the ambassador's residence on May the 16th. All 18 were charged with conspiracy to commit a crime of violence, felony that is punishable by a maximum of 15 years in prison. Several faced additional charges of assault with a deadly weapon. U.S. Defense Chief Jim Mattis met with the Emir of Kuwait, Sheikh Sabah al-Ahmed al-Jaber al-Azaba, at the Pentagon during a briefing that was open to the media. Mattis said Azaba expressed their mutual commitment to work together against extremism and to continue to strengthen the bond between the two countries.
Kuwait has stepped forward in its usual way, but this has been an exceedingly difficult mission for the Emir, and we're grateful for his leadership. And I look forward to discussing how we can further advance our country's military relationship in the coming months and years, and in particular exploring ways to increase Kuwait's involvement in the Defeat ISIS campaign.
Today, Kuwait hosts 13,500 American troops, many at a camp south of Kuwait City, which also is home to the forward command of the U.S. Army Central. A U.S. federal appeals court has rejected the Trump administration's limited view of who is allowed into the U.S. under the president's travel ban. VOA's Mary Mata has details.
The court said grandparents, cousins, and other close relations of people in the U.S. should not be prevented from coming to the country. The unanimous ruling from three judges on the Ninth U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals also said refugees accepted by a resettlement agency should not be banned. The decision upheld a ruling by a federal judge in Hawaii who found the administration's view too strict. The U.S. Supreme Court said in June that President Donald Trump's 90-day ban on visitors from six Muslim-majority nations can be enforced pending arguments scheduled for October. But the justices said it should not apply to visitors who have a bona fide relationship with people or organizations in the U.S. Mary Mata, VOA News, Washington.
And in an emotional speech before thousands gathered in Colombia's capital, Bogota, Pope Francis said young people represented hope for reconciliation in that country, ravaged by decades of guerrilla fighting and divisions by the anger some Colombians have over the government's peace deal with FARC.
That's the latest world news from VOA.